This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to talk about a workplace mistake you made before someone else brings it up. Get ahead of the fallout by owning your mistake before it owns you. In short, talking about a workplace mistake before anyone else does is one of the most powerful things you can do for your credibility. Waiting turns a recoverable error into a trust problem. Disclose the mistake in your own words before someone else frames it for you. Come to the conversation with a clear, specific plan to fix what went wrong. What people remember is not the mistake. It is how you handled it. Definition: a workplace mistake conversation is a proactive, direct disclosure where you tell the relevant person about an error you made, take clear ownership of it, explain its impact honestly, and present a concrete plan to address the damage before anyone else raises the issue. I have watched good people lose the trust of an entire team not because they made a mistake, but because they waited. A project figure got miscalculated. The person who made the error knew it within hours. They told themselves they would fix it quietly before anyone noticed. 3 days later, the client flagged it in front of the director. That moment, the silence, cost more than the original mistake ever could have. That is the real risk when you avoid a workplace mistake conversation. You are not protecting yourself. You are handing control of your reputation to someone else. Owning an error before it surfaces is not natural. Your instinct tells you to wait, to fix it first, to minimize it. Every one of those instincts works against you. This article gives you a clear, numbered process for starting that conversation yourself, saying the right things in the right order, and walking out with your credibility intact. Why this particular conversation feels so hard to start? Most difficult conversations are hard because you do not know how the other person will react. This one is hard for a different reason. You already know you did something wrong, and every hour you wait, you're rehearsing the worst version of how it gets discovered. Shame is the engine underneath the avoidance. It is not laziness or cowardice. It is the very human instinct to protect your image from damage. But the longer you wait, the harder the conversation becomes, and the worse you look when it finally happens. There is also the fear of consequences. You might lose standing. Your manager might question your competence. Your colleagues might lose confidence in your work. These fears are real, and I'm not going to dismiss them. What I will tell you is this: the consequences of silence are almost always worse than the consequences of honest disclosure. Almost always. What you need to sort out before you open your mouth. Before you sit down with anyone, you need to be clear on three things. Not roughly clear. Precisely clear. First, know exactly what happened, not your interpretation of it. The facts: what you did, when you did it, and what resulted from it. Second, know who was affected and how. If the error touched a client, a colleague, or a deadline, name it specifically. Third, have a corrective plan ready. Not a vague intention, a real, concrete sequence of steps you are prepared to commit to. If you walk in without these three things, the conversation will wander. Your manager will lose confidence not just in your judgment, but in your ability to manage through difficulty. Preparation is not just good practice here. It is the foundation the whole conversation stands on. Choosing where and when you have this conversation also matters more than people realize. A private room, not a corridor or an open-plan desk. A time when the other person is not rushing into a meeting. If you are working remotely, a video call with cameras on, not a message thread. Tone and presence carry more weight than the words alone when the subject is serious. For guidance on staying grounded when the conversation turns tense, the core framework for tense workplace conversations is worth working through before you go in. The six-step process for owning a workplace mistake. Step 1. Request the meeting with a neutral, direct reason. Do not drop the disclosure in a casual moment or as an addendum to something else. Ask for a short, private conversation. You do not need to reveal the subject in full beforehand, but do not be evasive either. Something like, I need to speak with you privately about a project issue. Can we find 15 minutes today? That phrasing signals seriousness without creating unnecessary alarm. Step 2. Open with the disclosure, not the context. When you sit down, name the mistake in your first or second sentence, not the backstory, not the reasons. The error itself. I need to tell you about a mistake I made on the Henderson account. I sent the revised figures to the client before they had been signed off internally. That was my error, and it should not have happened. That is your opening. Clear, direct, and unambiguous. If you lead with reasons or context before the disclosure, it sounds like deflection. State what happened first. Let that land. Then explain. Step 3. Name the impact without minimizing it. After you have disclosed the mistake, state what it caused. Be specific and resist the pull to soften it. The client received figures that may need to be revised. That creates a trust problem with them and puts the account team in a difficult position. Do not say it might have caused a small issue if it caused a real one. People can handle honesty. What they struggle to forgive is when they later discover the impact was larger than you described. Understating the damage now is its own form of dishonesty, and it will cost you far more later. Step 4. Take ownership without qualification. This is where most people stumble. They say, I made a mistake, but the system was unclear or I should have caught it, but I was working under a lot of pressure. These qualifications are understandable. They are also damaging. The moment you attach a but, the ownership disappears. Own it completely. This was my error. I'm not here to explain it away. That is the sentence that would build trust faster than any other. If there were contributing factors that genuinely need addressing, you can raise those separately after the immediate issue is resolved, and only if they are genuinely relevant to preventing recurrence. Step 5. Present your corrective plan in specific terms. This is where you demonstrate that you have already done the thinking that leadership would have to do otherwise. Come with a plan that is concrete, not, I will work to fix this, but, I have already contacted the account manager. I'm preparing a corrected set of figures for review by end of day. I would like to speak with the client directly, with your support, and acknowledge the error before they raise it with us. A specific plan shows that you have moved from regret to responsibility. That shift matters enormously to the person across from you. This is the step where, if done well, you begin turning the conversation from damage assessment to collaborative problem solving. For a structured approach to working through conflict after moments like these, the DEAL method for resolving workplace conflict gives you a solid framework. Step 6. Invite the response and stay in the room. After you have laid everything out, stop talking and listen. Do not fill the silence. Do not keep adding qualifications or reassurances. Ask directly. I wanted you to hear this from me first. What do you need from me now? Then listen without interrupting. Your manager may be frustrated, disappointed, or simply need time to think. Your job in this moment is to stay present and composed. If the reaction is strong, do not become defensive. Acknowledge the response. I understand why that is frustrating. I want to make this right. If you are struggling to stay composed under a strong reaction, the core framework for managing defensive reactions is exactly the tool to have practiced beforehand. When you are working remotely, the same 6 steps apply on a remote team, but the risk of misreading the conversation is higher. Without the full picture of body language and presence, your tone carries everything. A few adjustments make a real difference. Request a video call, not a message. Written disclosure, especially over chat, often reads as impersonal or evasive. It also creates a permanent record before the conversation has had a chance to land properly. A video call gives both of you the real-time connection that a difficult conversation requires. Be especially deliberate about pacing. On a call, silence feels longer than it is. Resist the urge to fill it. And if your connection is unstable, say so at the start and agree on a backup plan. You do not want a technical disruption to derail the most important moment of the conversation. Teams navigating this kind of tension regularly can find further support in how to start a difficult conversation when it is already affecting the team's work. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book They Write Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. What goes wrong when people attempt this? The mistake, apologizing excessively before stating the facts. Why it happens? Anxiety pushes people towards softening the delivery. What to do instead? State what happened first. Your apology lands harder when it comes after a clear, factual disclosure, not before it. The mistake. Bringing in reasons and context before taking ownership. Why it happens. It feels fairer to give a full picture. But the listener hears deflection. What to do instead? Own it first, in full, without qualification. Context can come later if it is genuinely relevant. The mistake. offering a vague corrective plan, or none at all. Why it happens. The person is so focused on the disclosure that they forget to prepare for what comes next. What to do instead. Write your corrective plan before the meeting. Bring it with you. State it specifically. This is the difference between a conversation that closes with relief and one that ends with lingering doubt. The mistake. Avoiding the people most affected after the conversation is over. Why it happens. Shame and embarrassment make proximity uncomfortable. What to do instead? Stay visible. Do the work. Show up fully in the days and weeks that follow. Silence after the conversation reads as indifference, and it unravels everything you built. If the relationship has taken real damage, the bridge method for rebuilding working relationships can help you navigate the repair work with intention. For a broader look at how the small communication habits around mistakes quietly damage working relationships before they become visible crises, common communication mistakes that quietly destroy team cohesion is worth reading alongside this article. Before you walk in, a practical pre-conversation checklist. Run through this before you request the meeting. Number 1. State the mistake in one sentence. Write it down. If you cannot say it in a single sentence, you're not clear enough yet. Number 2. Name who was affected and how. Be specific. The client is not enough. Which client? And what was the consequence for them? Number 3. Write your corrective plan. List the steps you are committed to, with timescales where you can give them. Number 4. Identify who needs to hear this from you directly. Your manager is usually first. Is there anyone else, such as a colleague or a client, who deserves to hear it before the story spreads? Number 5. Choose the right setting. Private, calm, and in person where possible. Video call, if remote. Never message or email for the initial disclosure. Number 6. Rehearse your opening line out loud. Once. Not to perform it, but to hear how it sounds when you actually say it. This alone will reduce the hesitation you feel going in. Number 7. Anticipate the 2 or 3 questions you most dread. Prepare honest answers to each one. You will not be blindsided if you have already answered them in your own head. This checklist also applies to giving honest feedback after errors that involve a colleague rather than just yourself. The SBI method for delivering feedback that builds rather than divides can help you handle the related conversation with the same care. The thing that sticks with people long after the mistake fades. Here is the truth of it. I have seen careers weather serious mistakes and come out stronger on the other side. I have also seen small errors become defining moments of lost trust, not because the mistake was so terrible, but because the person was found out rather than stepping forward. The mistake fades. How you handled it does not. The workplace mistake conversation you're dreading is, in reality, the fastest way back to solid ground. Own it clearly. Come prepared. Say what you're going to do, and then do it. That is how trust is earned after it has been shaken. And it is the only thing that actually works. Frequently asked questions. What is a workplace mistake conversation? A workplace mistake conversation is when you proactively tell your manager or team about an error you made before someone else raises it. It is a direct, honest disclosure that takes ownership, explains the impact, and offers a clear path toward fixing the problem. How do you start a workplace mistake conversation with your manager? Start by requesting a private meeting and being direct from the first sentence. Name the mistake clearly, take full ownership without deflecting blame, describe the impact honestly, and come prepared with a specific plan to address the damage. Keep the opening short and factual. Why is it better to disclose a workplace mistake before someone else does? Disclosing first protects your credibility and gives you control over the conversation. When someone else raises the error first, you lose the chance to frame it as a moment of accountability. Proactive disclosure signals integrity and earns more trust than being caught in silence. How do I prepare for a difficult conversation about a workplace mistake? Write down exactly what happened, who was affected, and what you plan to do to fix it. Rehearse your opening line out loud. Choose a private setting and a calm moment. Anticipate the questions your manager will ask and prepare honest, direct answers before you sit down. What should I avoid saying when admitting a workplace mistake? Avoid over-explaining, deflecting blame, or apologizing so excessively that the conversation stalls. Do not lead with your feelings or reasons before you have clearly stated what went wrong, and never promise solutions you cannot actually deliver. Keep the focus on the facts and your corrective plan. How do I rebuild trust after admitting a mistake at work? Trust is rebuilt through consistent follow-through, not words. After the conversation, deliver on every commitment you made. Give regular updates without being asked. Stay visible and direct rather than avoiding the people affected. Trust returns slowly, through behavior over time, not through a single apology. Can admitting a mistake at work actually help my reputation? Yes, when done with clarity and a solid corrective plan. People rarely remember the mistake itself as much as they remember how you handled it. A direct, composed disclosure signals professional maturity and builds lasting credibility in a way that silence or deflection never can. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.